Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
This is Tim Staples of Catholic Answers. I'm excited to let you know that I also teach high school apologetics for homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. There are also recorded independent learning courses at homeschoolconnections.com. Whether you take apologetics with me, literature with Joseph Pierce, or philosophy with Bill Donahue, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, it's a great way to get Catholic learning for your family.
Oh, Lord, my God, Thou searchest me. My heart and mind are known to Thee. Nothing is hidden from Thy eyes.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome all to our Perseverance Family Conversation this morning. May God bless all of you in a special way. And as always, we'd like to start our conversation by praying, and by praying to Mary. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. And Mary is the mother of each and every one of us. Mary is also known as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's turn to Mary and ask her to pray for us, pray with us, and to accompany us in this wonderful day that God has given to us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now, friends, let's invite our guide to be with us. Our guide is the one that's directing our conversation. He's the one that's opening up our minds and our hearts to truth. And this guide is the Holy Spirit. Many titles for the Holy Spirit. He is the Paraclete. He's also the gift of gifts. He's also our counselor. He's also our consoler. He's also known as the interior master. Because we really don't know how to pray. But the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans. Groans so we can say, Abba, Father. And the Holy Spirit is also known as the sanctifier. Yesterday we were talking about the universal call to holiness, that we're all called to become saints. The key person in our sanctification is the Holy Spirit, known as the sanctifier. John the 23rd said that the saints are the masterpieces of the Holy Spirit. So let's invite the Holy Spirit to be with us in prayer and in song. So I invite you to join with me as we invite the Holy Spirit to come into our lives as we sing. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me. Fill me, use me, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Now on us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, use us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Fall afresh on us. Fall afresh on us. O Lady Guadalupe, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius, pray for us. Saint Faustina, pray for us. Our God and angels, pray for us. O God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning to all of you, and as always, I will offer my prayers for you when we celebrate the greatest of all prayers, my friends. We should never forget the Opus Dei, the greatest of all prayers, is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. So, today I'll be placing all of you on the altar today in my Mass, so that when I lift up the host and the chalice to praise the Eternal Father by offering the Eternal Son through the power of the Holy Spirit, I'll be placing you on the paten, the chalice, in the Mass. And I'll be offering intentions for you. I'd like to offer, in a special way, I'd like to offer three intentions. The first is that all of you will experience the great joy and peace and happiness of the risen Lord Jesus. Because Jesus has truly risen from the dead. Alleluia. In these 50 days, this is the Easter season, it's a time which we rejoice. But always we should remember that our rejoicing should be in the Lord. As St. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord, I say it again, rejoice in the Lord. And the Blessed Mother teaches us by saying, she says, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Second intention will be to pray for you and your family members as well as your children. A note of thanksgiving and intention is the following. Yesterday evening, we had the bishop, regional bishop, Mark Trudeau, come, and he confirmed our first group of young people. He confirmed probably about 30 of our young people yesterday in the first of five masses. So, we invite all of you to pray in a special way for our teenagers, our young people, now that they have received The sacrament of confirmation. The sacrament of confirmation is a sacrament that completes the three sacraments of initiation, baptism, Eucharist, and confirmation. And it prepares us to be soldiers of Christ. Soldiers of Christ. To fight the good fight. To run the good race. So that we can arrive at the finish line. And receive the merited crown that God has prepared for his faithful soldiers. Once confirmed, we're called to defend the faith and to spread the faith. Those are the words. I repeat, we're called to defend the faith and we're called to spread the faith as soldiers of Christ. So that's my second intention for you. And some of you even have your children that were confirmed yesterday that are with me. Let's pray that God would continue to bless them in a very special way. Now, my third intention would be that all of you following my talk yesterday would have a ardent desire in your lives to become who you're called to become. As Matthew Kelly says, the best version of yourself. You're called to become who God wants you to be. And that is to become a saint. The writer Léon Bloy said that the greatest tragedy in the world is not to become a saint. All of us are called to become saints. We mentioned yesterday in giving you a brief summary of some of the Vatican II documents. It's called the Universal Call to Holiness. That means God wants all to be saved. But God wants all of us to become saints. As Jesus said, be holy as your Heavenly Father is holy. So my friends, let's enter into the riches of the Word of God. Today we've got Acts chapter 11, Psalm 87, and a continuation of John chapter 10, which is the chapter of the Good Shepherd. So let's enter into the riches of the Word of God. We're into the very heart of the Acts of the Apostles. Notice also, my friends, the operation and the working of the Holy Spirit. By meditating upon the Acts of the Apostles, we should become more aware of the Holy Spirit and to become more open and open to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. Our young people were confirmed yesterday, and confirmation fortifies the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember the gifts of the Holy Spirit? There are seven. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, fortitude, piety, and fear of the Lord. Those are the seven gifts the Holy Spirit will receive in baptism. They're fortified in confirmation. And if you really want to grow in holiness, you have to beg that these gifts of the Holy Spirit we would open up these gifts and allow the breath of God, the Holy Spirit, to work in us. And one of the gifts, of course, is understanding, which means to understand the Word of God. Remember when Jesus appeared to the apostles, the gospel says he opened up their mind for the understanding of sacred scripture. We want to beg that God would open up our mind so that we would understand sacred scripture. And call to mind the method that I've given you over the past few months. It's important that we have a method. Method can really help us to have a more orderly, systematic way of praying. Read. Memorize. General understanding. Personal understanding. Practical application. That's a method. Read. Memorize. General understanding of the text. Personal understanding for me. Practical application. Living it out. So that's a method that I've created that could be very useful for us in our holy hour as we meditate upon the Word of God. So the first reading today says that those who had been scattered by the persecution that arose because of Stephen went as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but Jews. So that first verse, there's a lot in it, but this is one of the ideas that I'd like to lay in your heart. That the early persecutors, they thought that by persecuting the church and by killing Stephen and taking the other Christians and throwing them in jail and then possibly even throwing them to lions, they really believed that by doing this, that the faith would be extinguished. Quite the contrary. Quite the contrary. The more they tried to extinguish the faith by martyrdom, the more the faith would actually grow. For that reason, the famous father of the church, whose name is Tertullian, would go on to say that the blood of martyrs is the seed of Christian growth. So trying to extinguish the faith by killing the Christians, it actually would be multiplying all the more. And I give you a very, very concrete example. Very important for us, is tomorrow we will be celebrating our titular feast day in the parish. Tomorrow we celebrate the feast day of Saint Peter Chanel, as well as two other saints on April 28th. So, relating Saint Peter Chanel to the persecution, the killing of Stephen. Peter Chanel was sent to Futuna in the South Pacific as the Society of Mary, he was a religious priest, to preach and to evangelize and to do missionary work on this remote island in the South Pacific. It's recorded of him that he struggled a lot, suffered a lot, and he ended his life by being clubbed to death. They surrounded his hut, and with a bludgeon, they basically clubbed him to death. During the life of St. Peter Chanel, in this little island, very few converts. The people were rude. He couldn't learn the language well. It was a difficult mission, but he never gave up. Now, after he was killed martyred. The whole island was converted, and the other islands that were close to that were converted. That's the point we're trying to make, is that when you have these great saints like Peter Chanel, even though he's a hidden saint, a very humble hidden saint, that is he's our patron saint in the parish. Once they suffer and shed blood, it's almost as if you have a dry land with a lot of grass and you set it on fire and the fire spreads like wildfire, like the fires of Southern California. We all know them if we live in Southern California. So never forget that the blood of martyrs is the seed of Christian growth. So in the beginning, the apostles and disciples that were spreading far and wide, they thought that they should preach only to the Jews. But God will intervene. As we saw yesterday with Simon Peter, it was revealed to him that the life-giving spirit of repentance was given not simply to the Jews, but to the Gentiles and to the whole world. We've already meditated upon the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. Peter directed a lot of his energy to the lost sheep of Israel, to the Jews. Now the Apostle Paul will go out to the whole world. And even today in the first reading, we're going to see the introduction of Saul of Tarsus on the scene. Up to this point, we have the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, but we don't see him working so actively. But right now, the scene is going to change. We're going to see that Saul of Tarsus is going to play a very prominent role in the Acts of the Apostles all the way to the end. Next 17 chapters up until Acts chapter 28. So, the reading goes on to say that There were some Cypriots and Cyrenians among them. However, they began to speak to the Greeks as well, proclaiming the Lord Jesus. So they're going outside, in a certain sense, kind of like a comfort zone. And now they're starting to preach to the Greeks. In the time of Jesus and Peter and Paul, there were three basic cultures in the time of Jesus and Peter and Paul. There were the Greeks, the Jews, and the Romans. So understand the whole biblical social reality. It's important we understand those three different cultures or intermingling. The Greeks were the intellectuals. You probably remember Socrates and Plato and Aristotle, Euripides. These are the great Greek scholars. Then you had the Romans. You had the Roman Empire. They were the governing rulers of the world for hundreds of years. Jesus was crucified under Pontius Pilate. And then you have the Jews. That was the religious leaders of the day. So on the top of the cross of Jesus, it was written, I-N-R-I, It was actually written in three languages, the Greek, the Latin, and the Aramaic. So the Word of God proceeds by saying that the hand of the Lord was with them. Now that preaching to the Greeks, it says the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed, turned to the Lord. So the hand of the Lord was with these men. And you have a strong wave of conversion. A strong wave of conversion. My friends, let's try to apply this to ourselves. We are living in a neo-pagan society. This we can't deny. We're living in a neo-pagan society. And the biggest religious group, my friends, are not in our country or the Philippines or Mexico, are not non-baptized. But the biggest religious group in our country are non-practicing Catholics. So as the apostles and the disciples went out to bring people to Christ, I think we should do all we possibly can in our power to bring back the wandering sheep. Yesterday we were talking about the Good Shepherd. We're talking about the 100 sheep, and one of the sheep wandered. And the Good Shepherd, what did he do? He left the 99 on the hillside and he went after to find the one lost sheep. And he found the sheep and he placed the sheep on his shoulders. We see this beautiful icon. Beautiful icon, isn't it? Beautiful, beautiful icon. So in this, we shouldn't be discouraged. We shouldn't be discouraged, but rather see this as a time of opportunity. And I've quoted Charles Dickens more than once. Charles Dickens went on to say that the worst of times can be the best of times. So all of us are called to be missionaries. And the two greatest missionaries last century would be John Paul II and Mother Teresa. The two greatest would be John Paul and Mother Teresa. John Paul II was the most traveled pope in the history of the world. He was a great missionary. And he went on to say that the best mission territory in the world are the big cities, like New York, Chicago, Philadelphia, Los Angeles. Los Angeles is actually the biggest diocese in the country, because there are a lot of wandering sheep. Like the Good Shepherd, we're called to go after the wandering sheep and bring them back. So it says that many of these Greek-speaking people, they were open to the preaching and they became followers of Christ. So it says that the news about them reached the ears of the church in Jerusalem. So you have the center is Jerusalem. And now we're seeing the church is going to be spreading out It's going to become Catholic. Catholic, kataholos, means universal. The church is going to be obeying the words of Jesus before it went to heaven. Jesus went on to say, his last words, go out to all the world. Teach them all I taught you. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And I will be with you always until the end of the world. So we see as a result the persecution of the church and Stephen, the church is spreading out. And news arrives at Jerusalem. The good news that the faith is spreading like wildfire. Good news. So as a result of this, the church in Jerusalem decides to send Barnabas to go to Antioch. So there in the city of Antioch, that's where the faith is really growing. Antioch. So Barnabas, we've talked about him, Barnabas, who is an early follower of Christ and a great missionary. He arrives at Antioch and saw the grace of God. He saw the grace of God. My friends, let's pray for this gift, with our eyes to see the grace of God working. Now let's pray that we would collaborate with the grace of God in our lives. What does that mean? Well, if you notice in your family, among your relatives, among your friends, among your colleagues, your associates, you notice that a person is opening up to God. Then you open up to this person and try to bring God to this person. That is the grace of confirmation. As I said, if you're confirmed, you're called to defend your faith, but also to spread your faith. So pray that you would be aware of the working of the grace of God in the people and the souls that surround you. Then it says that Barnabas, he rejoiced. There's that word again. Rejoice means that he was, what's the word to rejoice mean? He was filled with joy. My friends, we should be filled with joy when we see others that are drawn closer to Christ. We should be filled with joy when we see people drawn closer to Christ, because they're drawn closer to eternal salvation. Then it says that Barnabas, he rejoiced and encouraged them all to remain faithful to the Lord in firmness of heart. So there's two ideas in that. And that last idea, he encouraged them. Barnabas, we talked earlier about forming the Barney Club. What is the Barney Club? I think we should all belong to the Barney Club. Because Barnabas means The name Barnabas means son of encouragement. Son of encouragement. My friends, let's try to encourage other people. Let's try to encourage other people. And charity begins at home. I remember on one occasion, it was a Saturday evening, I had a long day, a lot of confessions, baptisms, weddings, busy Saturday, as usual. But for some reason that evening, I was experiencing a cloud of desolation. This cloud of desolation was descending upon me. And I felt it. Now I was about to go back to the rectory that Saturday night, experiencing desolation. Well, we all experience desolation, my friends, and it's part of living. And as Father Tim Gallagher always points out, we shouldn't be ashamed that we have desolation, but we have to know what to do and what not to do when we're going through this time of desolation. And someone very simply said just a couple of kind words to me. Just a couple of kind words, maybe 10 words. And that pulled me from desolation to consolation, which I experienced another 24 hours after that. So I tell you that personal anecdote because we all go through desolation, as well as our family members. We should know what to do and what not to do. But we should try, to the best of our ability, let's try to imitate Barnabas. Try to imitate Barnabas. To be a son of encouragement. And as St. Paul says, we who have suffered much have also experienced abundantly the consolation of Christ. Let us be a source of consolation to others. And that's one of my works. One of the purposes of our Perseverance family is we're coming together and we're trying to encourage you in this family, because we're forming a family. Encourage each other to fight the good fight, run the good race, and to persevere in our pursuit of holiness and salvation. So Barnabas encouraged the people to be faithful to the Lord in firmness of heart. Firmness of heart. And he says firmness of heart, I'll explain it this way. We should not, in our spiritual life, base everything upon feelings, in the sense that sometimes we might go to our prayer life and we do experience a little bit of aridity. So Teresa of Avila gives us this advice. She says, debemos tener una determinada determinación para nunca dejar la oración. Very poetic in Spanish. Debemos tener una determinada determinación para nunca dejar la oración. We should have a determined determination to never give up prayer. So Barnabas is encouraging the early Christians to remain faithful to the Lord in firmness of heart. Jesus compares our spiritual life to a house built on rock and a house built on sand. The house built on sand, when the rain comes, the house caves in. But when the house is built on rock, irrespective of the torment and the tornado and the winds, that house is solid. Because that person has firmness of heart. Let's pray today that God, the Holy Spirit, will give us firmness of heart. And then there's a short verse that explains. It gives a short biographical depiction of Barnabas, whose name means son of encouragement. And it says that Barnabas, he was a good man. He was a good man. Let us pray, my friends, that we would have goodness. The opposite would be evil. That we would have goodness. And this goodness comes from the working of the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit would permeate us with goodness in the way we look at others, the way we listen to them, the way we speak, the way we act, and our intentions, that even to purify our intentions, that everything we do should be the AMDG. Ad maiorem Dei gloriam. That whatever we do would be imbued with this ad maiorem Dei gloriam. That's the motto of St. Ignatius, which means do everything for the honor and glory of God. So he was a good man. And it says that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Once again, almost every page of the Acts of the Apostles, we're going to have a reference to the Holy Spirit, either implicit or explicit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why we start off our prayers for our confirmation students, because they receive confirmation from the bishop. The bishop, he anointed their foreheads with holy chrism, be sealed with the Holy Spirit. May all of you be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's my prayer. My prayer would be that all of you would be filled with the Holy Spirit. Get to know the Holy Spirit. Sing to the Holy Spirit. Pray to the Holy Spirit. Open your hearts to the Holy Spirit. Be docile to the Holy Spirit. My friends, our sanctification, our growth in holiness depends upon one thing, our docility, openness, and collaboration with the Holy Spirit. For that reason, the Holy Spirit is known as the sanctifier. To sanctify means he who makes holy. He who makes holy. That book written by Bishop of Mexico, Luis Martinez, the name of the book is The Sanctifier. You might eventually read that book by the servant of God, Luis Martinez of Mexico. He was the Archbishop of Mexico in the 50s, and he wrote the book The Sanctifier. Pope John the 23rd said the saints are the spiritual masterpieces of the Holy Spirit. So Barnabas was a good man. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And it says, and faith. So those are the three virtues or attributes that they give to Barnabas. Let's pray that we would have those same virtues or attributes in our lives. We would be good people. We allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. But also that we would be men and women of deep faith. Yes. We'd be men and women of very deep faith. Very deep faith. My friends, faith is so important. And faith, my friends, is one of those three theological virtues. The three theological virtues are the virtue of faith, hope, and charity. If you want to grow in your faith, these would be among many things we can do, but three ways that we can grow in our faith is this. By growing deeper in your prayer life, you're going to be growing in your faith. The servant of God, Father John Hardin, who was a one-man spiritual army, they wrote about him, who died in the year 2000, servant of God, he made this comment with respect to faith. He noticed that those people who eventually lose their faith were those who gave up prayer. Right. We give up prayer, my friends, then our faith starts to decline. Faith, my friends, it's kind of like weightlifting. It's kind of like weightlifting. I have in my room, I'll show you. I have a weight here, 20 pounds. You go like this. You see? I'm doing some what I've called curls. See, this is a weight. See it? So I'm doing this weightlifting before you. It's pretty heavy. It's 20 pounds. Pretty heavy. Now, if I keep doing that, and I have another one also for my other arm, if I keep weightlifting as such, what's going to happen is I'm going to start to develop muscles in my arms. It's going to happen. But if I decide, okay, I'm not going to do any weightlifting for a couple of months, then the muscle tissue that I have, it turns into flab, into fat. So by that constant weightlifting, I'm fortifying my arms so that they can be muscular. I think it's a good analogy. I think all of you understand it. I think it's a good analogy for our spiritual life. Saint Ignatius speaks about spiritual exercises. We do physical exercises, we can maintain the strength of our bodies. So if we do spiritual exercises, we maintain the strength of our souls. You got me? Understand? Yes, those are weights. 20 pounds, no? I keep doing that, you're going to see Father Rambo Broom. Father Rambo Broom, okay? But we want to have muscles in our souls. Having a muscular body, fine, but having muscular souls is even more important. What do you think? So it says that Barnabas was a good man. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he was a man of faith. Your faith grows when you exercise your faith. Your faith grows when you come to the Perseverance family. Invite other people to come. This is an open line family. It's an open line family, free of charge. Invite some of your relatives. We're forming a very good family, but the more the better. The more the merrier, as they say. The more the merrier. So these are three ways you can grow in your faith. By praying, by learning through our Perseverance conversation, and by prayer. And Beatrice has asked me a question. What is a quick, good prayer of the Holy Spirit? And it's this: Come, Holy Spirit, come to the heart of Mary. Okay? Come, Holy Spirit, come to the heart of Mary. That's a short one that I actually coined. Come, Holy Spirit, come to the heart of Mary. So we're asking the Holy Spirit to come, but through Mary, because Mary is the daughter of God the Father. Mary is the mother of God the Son, and Mary is the mystical spouse of the Holy Spirit. Then the third way in which we can grow in our faith is this. On a physical plane, my friends, if I were to pull out my wallet and give you $10, I would be $10 poorer than before. Because giving on a material plane, when you give physically or materially, you become more poor. But not so in the spiritual life. Not so in the spiritual life. In the spiritual life, my friends, the more we give spiritually, the more we're becoming enriched. So the point I'm highlighting is the following. If we want to grow in our faith, pray, study together, and share your faith with others. So right now, my friends, I am growing in my faith because I'm sharing my faith with you. And hopefully after we finish our conversation, you'll be sharing some of what you've learned with your relatives and your friends. So by sharing your faith, you're growing in your faith. So that's the person of Saint Barnabas. Then it says, now they're in Antioch, and a large number, says, and a large number of people were added to the Lord. So we have like a massive conversion. These first few years after the coming of the Holy Spirit in Pentecost, you have a wave of conversion. Peter preaches, you got 3,000. There's the healing of the paralytic, another 2,000. Now they're leaving Jerusalem, and there are other waves of conversion. I think we have to pray right now, especially here in LA, you've got millions and millions and millions of people. During this pandemic, which is not over yet, let's pray to the Holy Spirit to give us enlightenment on seeing how we can bring more and more people back to Christ, back to his mystical body, back to the church, back to the sacraments. One of the best things you can actually do to bring someone back is to convince this person that's maybe wandered for a long time to come back to confession. Because through confession, our sins are forgiven through repentance and absolution. We actually start a new life. For that reason, my friends, you know me, I'm preaching and teaching around the clock. Because faith comes through hearing. And St. Paul says, woe to me if I don't preach the word of God. He feels the same thing as in Father Broome. Woe to me if I don't preach the word of God. Woe to me if I don't preach the word of God. Then I spent from 10 to 1 confessing, and I've opened up a new window so that people can go to confession in the evening from 4:30 to 5:50 up to the 6 o'clock Mass. So maybe convince someone to go back to confession. Why don't you become astute? You know, it's your birthday or Mother's Day is right around the corner. Maybe you've got a son or daughter or family member that says, hey, Mother's Day. Mother's Day is in May. What would you like for Mother's Day? Chocolate, flowers, to go to a restaurant, pair of new shoes. What you ought to do is this. Try to be astute. Jesus says that we have to be as simple as doves, but we have to be as astute or clever or wily or crafty. We have to be as simple as doves, but as astute as serpents. So you might ask some family member for your birthday gift or Mother's Day, tell them, I want you to go to confession and come to church and receive communion for me. Why not? I think we have to be clever. And who knows, maybe that person who is irresolute, vacillating in his faith, just has to have someone suggest, maybe push a little bit. You know, a rock on the top of a mountain, it's going to stay there forever unless it's pushed. So sometimes people have to be pushed a little bit. They have to be motivated a little bit. They have to be encouraged, like St. Barnabas, son of encouragement. Son of encouragement. So you see this huge numbers of people that are converted, and what's going to happen at the end of the reading today, Barnabas is aware that the field there, the spiritual field there, the harvest there is so abundant that Barnabas recognized he can't do it all by himself. So what does he do? He calls Saul of Tarsus. Here we have Saul entering into the scene. So both Barnabas and Saul are in Antioch, and they are teaching large numbers of people in Antioch. Large numbers. So both of them are working together as a team. Jesus sent them out in two. When you got two, there's more strength. There's more strength. And it says the last passage in the Acts today, Acts chapter 11, verse 26. This was when the disciples got their name. The first time Christians were called Christians was in the church of Antioch. So my friends, the reading today, it's so rich. The word of God is so so very rich. So let's conclude our Perseverance Family Conversation. Invite you to share this with others and to bring other people into our family. Become a sharer. Share it with others. But let's end our conversation by giving ourselves to Mary and singing the Easter song in honor of Mary. And that's the Regina Caeli. Regina Caeli, laetate, alleluia, quia, quemeruisti portare, alleluia, resurrexit, sicut dixit, alleluia, ora pro nobis Deum. Alleluia. The Lord be with you.
For me and behind, and
may Almighty God bless you,
my heart,
Father,
mind,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless all of you.